Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
My mother's favorite line to quote from the Bible was, "All things work together for good." This does not mean that everything that happens is good, nor does it mean that God causes everything to happen. Most of the things in our lives are a result of our choices or the choices of others. But God uses those things for our good if we let Him. When we read Romans 8 in context, it says this: God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for those who He foreknew, He also foreordained to become conformed to the image of His Son. If we love Him and follow His purpose, we will be conformed to His image, and He will use everything that comes our way to accomplish that purpose. In the opening chapter of the Bible, we read, "God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them." God is revealed as a Trinity. Man is also a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. And notice, both male and female are created in His image. Paul, who was a first century Jew, lived in a culture that often viewed women as less important than men, yet he said, "In Christ, there is neither male nor female." So we are all put here for the same purpose. Our first purpose on this earth is to reflect the image of God. This does not imply that we are God. Rather, we are to be like Him. The moon reflects light from the sun, but it is not the sun. It does not have light of its own. It does not warm the earth. It does not take the sun's place. We are not to usurp His position, like Lucifer tried to do. We do not become God, but rather we are to become like Him. Man was created in the image of God. But when sin entered the human stream, the image of God was defaced. Jesus came to restore that image. Romans says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made." So you might say, the natural reveals the supernatural. Now understand that God has revealed many attributes about Himself. Some are natural attributes, such as His omnipotence, His omniscience, His omnipresence, His eternal existence. Others are His moral attributes, such as His justice, His mercy, His faithfulness, His love. Natural attributes are who He is, His nature. Moral attributes are how He acts, His character. We cannot attain His natural attributes, but we certainly can and should practice His moral character. Unger's Bible Dictionary defines God's glory as the manifestation of His divine attributes. Anytime one or more of the attributes of God is manifested or demonstrated, it brings Him glory. For instance, when Moses asked God to show him His glory, God said, "I will let My goodness pass before you." Goodness is only one of many of God's attributes. But by displaying just one attribute, God was showing His glory. Sometimes we think glory is so mystical that we cannot understand it, but really, it is Him demonstrating His attributes. Likewise, When we are called to glorify God in all we do, it does not mean that we're to be sanctimonious or super spiritual. It means that we are to demonstrate His character in our lives. The Pharisees used the term, give glory to God, as a way of saying, tell us the truth. Truth is one of God's attributes. Speaking the truth demonstrates an attribute of God. It gives Him glory. When we reflect the image of God, we glorify Him. Whenever you choose to show mercy, compassion, justice, you reflect His image. Whenever you unconditionally love someone, you reflect His image. Whenever you do something to make another person's life better, you reflect His image. Whenever you bring healing into someone's life, you reflect His image. Whenever you lay aside your own rights for the betterment of others, you reflect His image. You glorify God. Becoming like Him is a growth process. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, all of us, with unveiled faces, looking as in a mirror at the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. In other words, there are so many of God's attributes to reflect that they are developed one at a time, day by day, from glory to glory. And we can see in ourselves this change taking place by the power of His Spirit. The process is not always comfortable, and sometimes God uses things we would probably not choose to accomplish His purpose in us. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we celebrate in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also celebrate in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. In 1464, the committee of officials in charge of the decoration and maintenance of the Florence Cathedral, the Duomo, commissioned a marble statue to be made of King David. A leftover marble stone from a project in 1408 was lying in the courtyard. The commission went to Agostino, who for unknown reasons abandoned the project after doing very little work. Rosalino took over the project, but he backed out almost immediately, citing the poor quality of the marble. Left without a sculptor, but too expensive to throw away, the massive slab sat out in the elements for a quarter of a century. In 1501, an effort was made to find a sculptor who could finish the statue. 26-year-old sculptor Michelangelo was chosen and given 2 years to complete it. Early in the morning on September 13, 1501, the young artist got to work on the slab, extracting the figure of David in a miraculous process that writer Giorgio Vasari would later describe as the bringing back to life of one who was dead. In 1504, Michelangelo finished his work saying, "The sculpture is already complete within the marble block. Before I start my work, it is already there. I just have to chisel away the superfluous material." After nearly 100 years, a block of stone was hewn into one of the most famous works of art in history. And you and I are similar to this work. Cast aside, rejected, considered unworthy, until the master began to chisel away the pieces which hid the image he had in mind. God's likeness is inside us all. But it takes vision, time, and sometimes uncomfortable processes to reveal His image in us. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Isaiah 43 says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made." Peter quotes Leviticus, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Then in chapter 2 he says, "For you have been called for this purpose, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you would follow in his steps." The concept of imitating the Lord or reflecting his image is consistently mandated throughout Scripture. Jesus did not call his disciples to start a religion or make a list of rules or join a program or erect buildings. He called his disciples to follow him. He told his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Jesus was sent to the world to show us who the Father is. He was sent to the world to show us how to live. But most of all, he was sent to the world to redeem it. To be like him is to be redemptive. We are on the earth to redeem things. Whenever you see something the world has stolen, music, holidays, social mores, resources, relationships, claim them back for the kingdom. Redeem them. When you do, you reflect his image. Jesus told his followers, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Hold on, you say. Nobody's perfect. But right before that, he said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may prove yourselves to be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Even tax collectors do the same. And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Even Gentiles do the same." He is talking about having perfect motives, loving unconditionally. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." He also said, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." The apostles caught on and taught new believers to follow Jesus. In fact, the first followers were called the Way because it was a way of life. It was the way Jesus walked. Believers were called Christians because they went around looking, sounding, and acting like Christ. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." You know, you are never more like your heavenly Father than when you forgive. You just can't fake mercy. Paul told the church in Corinth, "I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own benefit, but the benefit of many, so that they may be saved." Now, he's not saying to be a people pleaser in the modern sense. He's talking about setting aside our own rights for the sake of others. He concludes with, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." I believe people will know what God is like if they see him in our lives. 2 Corinthians 3 says, "You are a letter of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Someone once said, "You may be the only Bible some people read." Richard Wurmbrand, who wrote Tortured for Christ and founded Voice of the Martyrs, was in a Romanian prison for being a Christian. At one point, a guard asked him, "What is your Jesus like?" And he answered, "He is like me." The guard then said, "Then I will follow your Jesus." In Ephesians 5, it says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you." Have you ever seen little children imitate their parents? I have a friend whose grandson was spending the weekend. In the morning, the little boy walked into the dining room carrying a briefcase full of papers. He sat down and proclaimed to his grandmother, "I have a lot of work to do today." He wanted to be just like his papa. Nothing compares to the feeling you have when your child says, "I want to grow up and be like you." And I think nothing pleases God more than his children trying to be like him, reflecting his image. John writes in his first letter, "The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." It takes practice to excel at something, and being like Christ is no exception. You probably know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." But are you familiar with 1 John 3:16? "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Now, this is not just physically dying, it is dying to self. It is dying to our own rights, needs, and agendas for the benefit of others. If you live in such a way as to put other people first, I promise you, it will make you more attractive to them, and it will make the idea of following Jesus more attractive to them as well. The image of God also includes creativity. We are created in the image of the Creator. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are his workmanship." The word workmanship is poema, where we get our word poem. We are God's work of art. The creative genetic, which is very strong in some, is one of the finest ways to reflect his image and glorify him. I am often moved by poetry, music, paintings, sculpture, architecture, and other forms of creativity. It can move me to worship my Creator as I see his DNA in their efforts. Some religious people reject the arts because of their political, philosophical, or religious differences with the artist. But I can enjoy the creativity of a secular artist who doesn't even acknowledge the existence of a Creator because I see evidence of the Creator's existence in their work. Even unbelievers can glorify God without realizing it. Remember, Paul quoted a secular poet at Mars Hill when preaching to the crowd about Jesus. Caiaphas prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation and didn't even realize it. I can worship my Creator at a museum, at an art gallery, or a concert. I thank him for using earthen vessels to display his manifold graces. I returned from a tour of Italy, where I saw beautiful cathedrals and many wonderful works of art, including Michelangelo's Statue of David and Da Vinci's painting of the Last Supper. On my first Sunday back to church, I sang Van Morrison's song, "When Will I Ever Learn to Live in God?" which contains these lyrics. You brought it to my attention that everything was made in God. Down through centuries of great writings and paintings, everything lives in God. Seen through architecture of great cathedrals, down through the history of time, is and was in the beginning and evermore shall ever be. I also like the old hymns. One of them goes like this. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinners to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Charles Monroe Sheldon's book, In His Steps, is about a church community that is challenged by a pastor to do nothing for a whole year without first asking, "What would Jesus do?" The book sold over 50 million copies. Several years ago, inspired by that phrase, people started wearing bracelets with the initials WWJD. But actions speak louder than words. Imagine if you not only wore the bracelet, but actually lived daily by that creed. Imagine if an entire church community lived that way. Imagine if all Christians embraced that as a directive. Imagine the impact we would have on our world. We would change the world. That was his plan. That is our purpose. All of us have the capacity to reflect the image of God. Let us strive to do so in everything we encounter. This is truly the destiny of every child of God. Lord, help me to be like you in all that I do, so that I may bring you glory, and help me to be patient with your process. This is Jim Barrier. I hope you'll join us again as we look into the scriptures for answers on Since You Asked.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.